Hello there. It seems that you truly can't get enough of these horror stories and have returned to my humble abode for some more tales from the script. Well, I'm sure I have one more of these things around here somewhere. Yes, here we are. This one's called The Space Station Full of People Who Are About to Die. The film opens on a shot of a recently abandoned space station orbiting Earth. The one where that mysterious distress beacon was coming from. You know the one. Matt and Tom.
Wait, we were supposed to meet him at yours, right?
Podcast,
yeah, yeah, he's, I mean, he's not usually late for stuff like this. He's usually bang on time. We'll see if he's in.
The door's open. Hang on, just... Dave, what are you doing? What, we're supposed to record a podcast and you're... What is this stuff? Are you recording Crypt Keeper-style opening segments?
It's... Look, there's something about October. When it gets chilly, it gets dark, I just get all excited, and I just sometimes like to entertain myself. Have you been listening?
Is this a spooky voice button?
Actually, no. That's a much more enjoyable button. I just do the spooky voice myself.
I mean, you've got like... the wolf howl,
yep.
Soundboards and
yep.
Lightning.
It's clever, isn't it? This yeah. Oh, that's nothing. Listen to this. This is my favorite sound effect. Listen to this one.
It's great to be here with you, young witches.
Oh, wow!
Yeah.
I think
that was a spooky noise.
It's ever so spooky, isn't it?
This is not at all what I expected when I booked a plane ticket last minute to come to the UK and have this experience.
I know.
It's fine. It's just you should know that Dave's been putting bookends on our podcast without our knowledge. I heard some weird stuff when we uploaded it, and then this crazy stuff keeps happening to us. Our guests keep dying. It's...
Oh my. Dave,
were you writing these unfortunate ends for our guests?
Well, yeah. I just thought I was splicing audio onto the end of a podcast. I didn't know it actually affected you. Oh god.
I mean, we literally...
Oh.
Jeff Goldblum in The Fly'd two of our favorite guests together.
Ooh. Right.
Two of our
Ooh.
Guests were dead already.
Yeah, they were dead
Ooh.
All along.
And you decided to use the Jeff Goldblum reference rather than Tuvix from Voyager? Sorry, I'm missing the point.
Listen, all right, well, is this the script for this week, Dave? Is this what this is?
Well, I mean, it was going to be. I don't know now. Yeah,
Where
it
have
was.
You got us this week, Dave? Give it here.
All right, have a look. I mean, I don't know, it's a bit silly. It's a bit out there.
You put us where?
Sorry.
Okay, guys, I'm pretty sure we should be safe from the Halloween antics now that we're on this abandoned space station.
This is probably about as far from Halloween as you can get without, I don't know, there might be other galaxies where, but they might have Halloween in other galaxies. I think we're safe. I think we're about as far as we're likely to get up here.
Oh, fuck,
far from
that?
Humanity, far from danger.
Yeah.
That's what I always say.
Really far away from the nearest pumpkin. I've not seen one in space ever, have you?
Never.
So many planets look like them, but don't be fooled. Not pumpkins, planets.
That's true, but you have to watch out for the ones with the evil face on, because those are just the evil planets that you need to steer clear of.
Did anyone else just hear that? No. No, just me.
No, I think you're imagining it. Like we said, there's nothing been aboard this space station for yonks.
Yonks.
Just so we're clear, like, it's, you know, these windows are so small, it's hard for me to tell. Are we orbiting the Earth, or are we much farther away? Where have we ended up?
A little bit of both.
I slept on the way here, you see.
We're both orbiting Earth and further away than that.
We're orbiting Earth from a long distance.
Okay.
Oh, really?
I just heard that thing again.
Best way of orbiting Earth.
Are you sure we're as far away from Halloween antics as we can possibly be?
Yeah,
I think it's scuttling in the vents right now.
I think this is the safest time to record the Halloween podcast that anyone's ever had.
Well, seeing as all this equipment's set up, let's get some pitching done!
Welcome to Lives of Pitch, the podcast where we pitch the best films that'll never get made. I'm Matt Turner.
And I'm Tom McGrath. And the game goes like this. We ask you, our devoted listeners, to come up with titles that you'd like to hear us pitch.
We then collaborate, coming up with story points, casting, and even marketing strategies.
Without further ado, this week's title is... The Sun Grew Legs and is Furious About It.
I like it.
Oh, man.
Are these supposed to be Halloween-y titles? Because that isn't.
This is sci-fi horror we're doing this week.
Oh, right. No one told me that. I didn't know what we were doing.
So I feel like we're at the middle of the Venn diagram between sci-fi horror and, like, nothing. Disaster film.
Yeah.
Like, sort of cosmic disaster film. Like, how do we stop the sun and its legs?
Well, that's the name of the main pitch that we'll save for the end of the show, main feature. But
that was given to us by Joe Thompson. Thanks, Joe, for that one.
Now, friend Dave, of the show. Considering we've just been told that we can sift a bit, do you kind of want to hear the vague one now, just in case?
Of course. Well, maybe Tom's going to throw it in as one of the not final ones.
Okay,
I don't know how it works.
Mentions.
Okay,
yeah,
fair enough.
Joe right. got in touch with us on Facebook, facebook.com/ Life's a Pitch podcast. You can also get in touch with us on Twitter @ Life's a Pitch Show to give us the titles. I post up a genre every week to base your titles around, so keep a watch out for those. Brent Black and Dave Bulmer join us in this here space station for this week's final horror-themed Halloween special. How are you guys?
Well, I miss gravity already, but other than that, I'm doing okay. I just, you know, I feel like I don't know what to do with my hair.
Yeah,
it's floating around
everywhere. It's actually getting into pretty much most of the machinery.
It's a real bummer.
I thought I saw it.
This is my fault. I'm sorry. I wrote flowing like 80s hair metal locks onto you in the script, Brent. So that's on me. Sorry.
You have to know I'm really appreciative of that. Really. I mean, it's been some time, so thank you. It's very exciting to have hair product again on the top of my head instead of just beard oil.
I did see some of one of those strands loosely fly into the circuit board on what looked like the ship's AI console. I hope that's not a problem.
Oh, wow.
I'm
sure Hal will treat us with the utmost respect and respect as well.
Are we going to hear some honorable mentions?
Horrible mentions.
Horrible
mentions.
Horrible. Okay.
It's the pun that no one can make.
Well, no, it is, because it is just in the English language. That is what the word horrible is.
Horrible.
Yeah. Honorable.
Horrible.
Horrible.
Horrible. Horrible mention.
Horrible.
Sounds like a Harry Potter character. All right.
Give me a word. Novel.
It's the horror novel mentions.
Yeah, that's what I was. Yeah. Okay.
That's what we're. Yeah. Give us your worst novel, Tom.
From Zaldera, we've got They Came from Mercury.
Oh dear, I'm going to have to find out facts about Mercury, otherwise it's just random planet.
You could just make them up.
So
it's fine.
Dave, it's really, okay. It's really hot, and the days are short, the years are short, but it's the closest to the sun, so it's super hot.
Okay, super hot, days are short, years are short. Those are the real facts. Now the made-up facts, everybody there is a rabbit.
I feel like, what if... I mean, we've got more to work with if this is the case. There's a massive heat wave on Earth. like climate change, global warming, all of the thermometers explode.
That's how you know when it's really hot.
Pools and pools of the mercury used in thermometers all amalgamate together, and when they reach a certain temperature, and also the radiation from whatever the reason for this heat wave is, hits them, suddenly creatures start crawling out of it, made out of this quicksilvery Terminator style goop.
So rather than coming from the planet Mercury, they came from the substance Mercury.
Yeah.
Why not both?
And then, like, they could sort of have magneto powers to draw the Mercury to them. So suddenly all of the tuna in the ocean is slightly more good for you.
And so now there's so there's Mercury, like, slowly coming into people's houses. And everyone's frantically Googling, oh, no, what do you do when there's Mercury? It's like, oh, I can't even hoover it up because that'll just, you're not allowed to do that. It just sprays it back into the air. It says here you've got to open the windows for 15 minutes and relieve the room. And then you've got, this is actually true, by the way, broken Mercury bolt. This is what you have to do. you have to open the windows and leave for 15 minutes. And then there's all this stuff about how you're going to die. And then if you look at a different Google result, it's like, no, actually, it's less Mercury than you get just by, I don't know, sneezing or something.
Well, so I think that genre-wise, we're kind of talking about the blob.
Yeah.
Like
The notion of like a liquid, or maybe like the blob meets the T1000.
Well, what I'm thinking is, because there's not much mercury in thermometers, and let's face it, there's not that many thermometers, so we're not going to be building, this isn't going to be the sort of movie Goldar of mercury. What it is going to be is, I'm thinking little, like, just little dots and blips and blops that just float around and just get on people, and everyone knows that you're not supposed to have mercury on you, so everyone's like, go! I've got it on me now! Poison now! So everyone,
terrifying.
So they might not even be, like, trying to hurt anyone. It's just that we spend the rest of our lives ducking around the floating mercury that's everywhere.
Well, and so what if it so decimates the population of Earth that the only recourse and the only way to make this fit into the overall genre of the episode of the podcast is to go to space.
They've fled Earth to run away from the Mercury, but you know what's in space, don't you? Mercury.
The whole planet's made of it.
Well, I was thinking the film ends with them on a spaceship, like the five people we've been following around on a spaceship, they've managed to get out of Earth, and then it flies towards the sun, and it's not even a shot of them in the ship, it's just a shot of the ship leaving, and then someone shouts, "Who brought this thermometer on board?"
Oh no, it's got to be a tuna. Like the tuna is the thing that has the trace amounts of mercury that allows the mothership of the planet Mercury to follow them. And so, like, the captain goes to bed, and nobody else really knows how to fly the ship because everyone else has sort of died. And he's like, "All right, I'm going to go to bed." I've taught that he's taught, like, someone the rudiments of how to do the like, make sure the autopilot's working and stuff like that. And he goes to bed and he's like, so does his captain's log kind of, we go to...
Before bed. He does his captain's log and cleans his captain's teeth.
You gotta feel relaxed. So he says, we're just passing Mercury. Just leaving the orbit, and then when he wakes up in the morning, he says to his new first officer, "So where are we?" And they're like, "We're just leaving Mercury's orbit. It's just right next to us. We're just about to leave." And then he's like, "What? Mercury is following us."
I'm just going to do a captain's log and then I'll be right there.
I seem to have captain's logged myself. Let's move on.
Let's put that in the logbook. Yeah, that's the worst idea I've ever had. I was just saying words, but now I'm imagining, like, you know, like when people used to press flowers and leaves and stuff.
Oh, what a shit joke. What a shit joke. So from Dwadg, or Don't Worry About the Government podcast, we've got Fire Bees from Gaia's Core.
Oh, I was hoping it'd be Fire Bees from Gaia's Knees.
I mean, you can change it a little bit if you want. Fire Bees from Gaia's Knees.
Yeah.
So Gaia's got knees, the sun's got legs. This is all about limbs that large bodies in space did not realize they had or needed.
So first of all, what the hell's Gaia?
Isn't that the spirit of Earth?
Yeah,
yeah.
The Earth.
I think that too, but I think that because of Captain Planet, so I don't know how true it is.
Yeah, is there maybe like another?
So Gaia is a
planet?
Ancient Greek goddess of the Earth.
Uh-huh.
So I think that they kind of just like, you know, sci-fi, like they kind of like did the Marvel or the Disney theft of that in Captain Planet. But like, yeah, it's like the idea of like, I think it's very close to the concept of Mother Earth.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mother Earth allegory, spirit of nature, that sort of thing. Now, that said, if there are any listeners who are like, come on, you idiots, it's that planet that's this specific place. It could be the next Goldilocks zone planet that that humans move to or whatever. Like, right, fine. A bit specific. But we're going
to...
It's all right.
It's okay, Matt. You just made them up in your head. You don't have to be too angry at them.
We're going to... No, right, I tell you what, Dave, I'm sick of them. Every time they talk like that, this hypothetical internet troll, and I'll tell you something, they are not nice. Anyway, so yeah, but like, if that's the case, let's just pretend it isn't.
Okay.
So
go on.
Fire bees. Are these like? Is this fire bees like? Bees that are on fire, or is it, or is it Gaia's knees are firing bees?
Well, I really want to know the origin of, like, you know, it feels like along the lines of like Godzilla, like radioactivity plus lizard equal monster. Like, what is the origin? Does it involve magma? Does it involve experiment gone wrong? Like, perhaps some scientists were trying to make a better bee.
Because the bees are going extinct.
Right.
Yeah.
To genetically engineer bees that'll keep doing their job. But, however, he didn't mean to activate the fire gene.
Science.
I definitely feel like they've come across a new mineral which is capable of rewriting, like a new. That's this kind of element X that they found in the Earth's core.
The yoga flame chromosome.
I love the idea that okay, some fire. Point in our evolution, humanity at one point when it was birthed just burst into flames and kept on. Ooh. Just flaming.
What about this? It's the, you know how there's spontaneous combustion, right?
Yeah.
Well, what if that's actually a genetic mutation and they've accidentally made all the bees?
Yeah.
But also, because they're bees and they've made them super strong because they tried to make them live and do their job, now they're too strong to actually like melt or burn, but they're also constantly spontaneously combusting. So they're just fireproof, but yet burning bees.
And you know what happens? You know why it's a problem when they're unleashed? Okay, we might be like, ah, but when do you see a bee, really? You're not like, ah, all the time. But all those fire bees are going to spread across all of our crops on the Earth and just set them all on fire. We're going to have a worldwide famine within like a few days if this is not contained.
And not only that, these bees, being unable to melt and die or be put out, are in constant pain. So now they've got the disposition of wasps.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
even,
they hate
bees,
now.
Even though the humans can't put out the bees, the humans are themselves really put out by all of this.
I am
and the irony being they make the best honey. It's like got a toasted kind of nutty flavor.
Yeah. And it's always warm.
Yep.
Have you ever had warm honey? It's lovely.
Oh, it is.
Right oh yeah, now. You put it on some like baked brie. Yeah.
I went to the bee farm they have in Devon, and they gave us a little pot of it to put on scones. Oh, it was nice.
Wow, we are really a bunch of tough dudes. I gotta tell you, we are.
I was just about to say, I think we've hit peak Britain with that sentence.
I went to the bee farm in Devon and they gave us a lot of it to put on. That's like, that's up there with Richard Dawkins saying that the terrorist had won because he couldn't take a pot of honey onto a plane.
But he couldn't take his scones on a plane either.
No.
So I have to say, while I'm really enjoying this, I do feel compelled to work in Gaia's knees.
Yes.
Is it perhaps a fictitious landform?
Yeah, like a mountain range or something. Yeah.
I was thinking like a canyon in the ocean. You know, like Pacific Rim style, which allowed us to the Earth's core, which is where we found this this chemical, this element that allowed us to manipulate genes.
Yes.
Not to be crass, but like all I can think of is, you know, a land formation that just looks like, you know, Earth's just spread eagle, just waiting for somebody to come along and
look. If it was that. It would have gained a nickname, but the nickname wouldn't be Gaia's knees.
Yeah.
Well, what if the person that named it was like trying to be, you know, a little bit tactful? They were like, what about Earth's vulva? He's like, no, I don't think so. They're gonna put this in the encyclopedia. Let's come on, Frank.
But if there's two big hilly
Yeah, two big hilly bits that look like knees, you know. Yeah. Let's go with knees, that's less dirty. Gaia's knees. Okay, fine. So yeah, I think that like this has got to be some kind of. Now, what are they? Did you already stipulate what they find in this anatomical monstrosity in the sea?
Well, my kind of link to the bees thing was sort of the Mass Effect style. We found this element that allows us to make these technological leaps, but also causes some serious issues because we misuse it.
They call it Element B.
Yeah, Element B. And they're like, we can use this to fix our bee problem where they're all going away. We can't pollinate anything.
Element B. Like, you've got like 100 of them, but then they're like, hey, you know what?
There's
all these Einsteiniums, Californicum. You know what? Element B.
They weren't going to call it B, or were they?
Yeah, and because of all those names, no one's thought to just like, just the previous element, someone named it Element A, because they were like, wait a minute, we've never just called it Element A. And this one's Element B. What they're trying to do is get to Element X and Element Z, because they're the cool ones. But so far, they're only on B.
They've done a soft reboot of the periodic table of elements. And now it's just like, nah, we're changing the naming scheme. The sequels are going to be different.
Yeah, and now all of the positions on the periodical table are hexagons.
It would make an incredible BuzzFeed article.
The head of science at wherever, the government head of science is like,
government.
In 24 letters we get the Powerpuff Girls, guys, so let's just keep going naming these elements after letters.
So what actually happens in this movie?
I think that like sounds like something of a disaster. Well, it's like a swarm monster movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it's like the birds or Godzilla or outrunning, you know, day after tomorrow, outrunning the storm.
They're
like,
happening in a way.
Mm.
That sort of.
Yeah, and I mean, they're angry, they're on fire.
Right.
They're ruining crops, but they're also like, there's a lot of outrunning fire, I think.
I do feel like there's like this, oh, wow, they do create this incredible honey. Maybe humanity could live. I mean, we're going to eke out an existence under the thumb of these bees, but maybe we can, like, survive off their honey. And then people eat it, and then just bees explode out of their stomach, just, just like.
Yeah, and then just to step up the horror, they decided to give Jerry Seinfeld a cameo. I'm on fire! I don't understand what's going on! Why am I on fire? It hurts! Why can't I talk? I'm a bee!
What's the deal with these killer bees?
Hey! That's my honey! Yeah. But, you know, at a certain point, how do you save the day when the whole point was to improve bees so that as a species, the honeybee can keep doing what they need to do to keep us alive?
Patrick Stewart, the president of the world, sacrifices himself by swimming into the moor in between Gaia's knees.
Okay, so there's got to be an Independence Day-style speech before that, where he's like,
"Hold on,
fellow Earthicans."
Yes, you're right, but Earthicans. we're on Earth now. We don't call each other Earthicans. That's not a sci-fi concept.
But he's the president of Earth, did you?
Oh, okay, yeah.
Come on, guys, new media influencers. Get
your
Earthicans together.
Why would Patrick Stewart... lodging himself in the cavern between Gaia's knees do anything about the fact that a load of bees are attacking the Earth on fire?
Because he's got a giant ice bomb.
The world. I just like the way it looked, and well, I can see it really well.
Basically, okay, this has to work on two levels, right? I mean, I know that it doesn't yet work on one level, but so the scientist man tells him if we hit this ice bomb into the core, then it will resonate at the frequency.
I don't care about science. I just want to stop the bees.
Right. If you put this.
Give me the ice bomb.
Wait. That, again, though, a bomb going in the cave. Even if the bees might have come from the cave, but that's not where they are now. They're in our crops. What we need is we need to genetically engineer some water bees.
So now we're into like a Pokemon, like used squirt gun, super effective.
Yeah.
I wanted to resonate at the frequency of this chemical they were using, but it's fine. Don't worry.
About the science. I just want to stop these bees.
What if the water bees end up mating with the fire bees?
Whoa.
And you end up with just steam
just
bees.
Just regular bees.
No,
come on,
right.
Science advisors.
No, he's right. That would be steam bees then. And steam bees would be really bad because steam is like... We think of steam as the stuff that comes out of a kettle, but it isn't. That's just vapor. Steam is deadly. If you touch steam, it's going to go right through your skin.
Yep.
Steam.
It's, if anything, worse than fire bees.
Yeah, I mean, can't decide. It's bad. Yeah.
You can't see them coming.
I think the humidity alone would negatively affect the weather in a way that fire would differently, but they would both kind of screw stuff up. I feel like fire's a little more scary until you see two steam bees just melt a guy's face right off.
Yes.
The thing is, you don't see them coming. They're invisible now because they're made of steam. So they're just, you hear a buzz and that's it. You just hear this buzzing shimmer in the air and then someone just melts.
Yeah.
So I think what they have to end up doing is creating Patrick Stewart's, "I've got to create a giant steam-proof flower."
Yes.
And put it in the middle of the ocean.
And just for good measure, they should genetically engineer a swarm of Patrick Stewart bees.
So I like this idea that the entire like closing half an hour of this film is Patrick Stewart ignoring his science advisors and being like, "Shut up about the science. Fire bees plus water bees makes normal. Everyone knows that. That's how you make normal bees." And then, like, because they're opposites, so then they make the steam bees. And then it's like this ridiculous rock, paper, scissors thing of, like, Patrick Stewart just sort of, like, guessing. He's just guessing what science is.
What if we make fairy type bees? maybe ghost type or grass type. What kind of bees?
Dragon type bees. Dragonflies. We've already got them. Unleash the dragonflies.
So, Patrick Stewart, we've now fucked up the world beyond recognition.
It's just mainly bees, because they just keep pumping them out.
It's just different kinds of bees. So we've solved the bee problem. That's sorted out.
This is now a sentient bee planet.
Yeah.
Especially after Patrick Stewart's like, "Well, this is how it ends. If you can't beat them, join them." And then he just sort of like bursts into a load of Patrick Stewart headed bees and like
okay, so now we've made a David Lynch film. He just like kind of blows on his thumb and like pops like a little balloon into like a 1,000 Patrick Stewart beads and Patrick Stewart heads.
What's the name of this film again?
Fire Bees from Gaia's Knees.
Wow.
A Patrick Stewart vehicle.
I propose a name change to Being Patrick Stewart.
Oh, yes.
Oh, man. Yeah, okay, that was fun.
Okay, let's move on, shall we? We've spent way too much time talking about bees and Patrick Stewart.
Okay, let's move on while the going's good.
Thanks, everyone, for those titles this week. Remember, you can go to facebook.com/ Life's a Pitch podcast and Twitter @ Life's a Pitch show to give us titles every week. I put the genre up on the week. We've got an award to give out for the Yes, Very Clever Award. given to people who have basically put a joke in the title.
It's for people who make the joke of the film in the title, and there's nothing we could do to make it more or less funny. It's just the joke.
Well, this one's a different one because it's kind of like a joke in the title. From Ed Crawley, we've got Zeitgeist, Time Ghost.
Oh, nice.
Very clever.
Time Ghost. Wow.
Zeitgeist is German for time ghost.
Yeah.
So
that's a multi-layered cake
yeah.
right there.
Yeah.
It's great.
It's very beautiful.
And we've also got an award to give out. We have started a new thing where we ask you, the listener, to pitch a film in 140 characters based on titles we give you. On Twitter, so go to @ Life's a Pitch Show and look out for those prompts.
I like to call it Life's a Switch Up.
It's a great, great title for that. I've been doing it for 4 weeks. Didn't. Now we've got a title. It's great.
The delivery on that was pretty perfect. Well done.
So this week's title was The Worst Gondolier. And this week's winner is from Dwadg. We've got Patton Oswalt goes into Italian witness protection after a crime at the Vatican. His work as a gondolier goes bad when criminal becomes his fare.
Ah.
That is succinct. More succinct than we have ever done. this is why I'm always impressed that people can pitch these in 140 characters. I love coming up with these titles, but good grief. that sounds like an entertaining film.
So, yes, as we are... You just hear that again? I keep hearing running around in the vents.
It's mental. No, it's not.
No, just me.
Hold on, let me grab my telescope. Perhaps it can help me detect some things that we otherwise couldn't see.
Yes. That's the most scientific tool we have at our disposal.
Well,
yes. The telescope. It's hard. You know, I got to say, the lens having a pentagram scratched on it really doesn't make it easy to look through, but, well, maybe I'll try it later.
Yeah. We're caught the end of the podcast now. Deal with the rummaging around in the vents later.
Also, the fact that we can't see the sun anymore, that's a weird thing, but
yeah, for sure.
let's leave that alone.
Why are the lights flickering? Anyway.
I'm sorry. I put them on disco mode. I thought we were going to dance around. I mean, zero gravity is the one place where I can dance.
I
have moves when there's no, you know, downward pull on my body.
I was getting worried there that we might be on a... on an alien-infested spaceship or station whatever, but...
No. That's just the sound of the margarita machine.
Cool.
Brent, I kind of get the feeling that you thought this podcast is going to be more fun than it is. here on this space station.
So you're saying no
margaritas
freeze-dried...
and disco.
No freeze-dried astronaut... that's the only way you can have margaritas up here, unfortunately, is freeze-dried. But still,
I'm totally up for it.
A delicious bar of margarita. You're not chalky and Necco waferish as it is. You're not interested? You'd rather it be scary than that? That's not scary enough for you?
No, I think that's... Never being able to drink a margarita properly again does shake me to my very core.
Chew that marg. That is top shelf.
So... let's move on to the main pitch, shall we? From Joe Thompson, we got the title, The Sun Grew Legs and is Furious About It.
I just like how impotent this rage would be. It hasn't got any other human features. It's not the sun grew an angry face. The sun gained a brain. It's just got these two legs coming out of it. And it's like, oh!
It's just kicking in the distance. It's just sort of like, you know, that kind of toddler tantrum when they're lying on the floor, kicking their legs.
Because the way that it's grown the legs is in a position that it looks like its legs are kind of up from our perspective, so yeah. It looks like we're looking right at its bum, and it's really embarrassed by that, and it's really like annoyed.
In like a wipe me, change me kind of position.
At the end of,
I don't know what you call it when you do it. I don't call it that.
And the other thing is, the sun's in space, so it doesn't really have, I know that's a quite an obvious thing to say, but it doesn't really have anything to kind of kick off.
No.
To kind of move around. Yeah, so
it's just kicking in space.
Yeah, just kind of flailing.
That's really annoying.
So I feel like the opening shot of this is like Earth. You zoom past Earth towards the sun, and you know those kind of solar flares that kind of lick out of the off the surface of the sun. Well, a couple of those sort of like get really long and extend out towards Earth, and then just suddenly like that you see them solidify, and then sort of like just suddenly you cut a little bit of a wider shot suddenly, and the music stops. The amazing sort of Brian Cox scientific music stops.
Yeah, and the stripper music starts as the leg.
The music stops, and then you just hear this really loud fuck. Joe Pesci voices the sun.
Oh, am I burning for you? Am I burning in space? Am I a big ball of gas? Am I a bunch of helium to you? Is this what I am? I have legs now. Is this what you think?
I don't know. You're just a really solar guy. That's
so hey.
Kick the legs, you know.
So what if humanity decides we're finally going to, now that you know it's a bit in the future, perhaps, right? Like maybe 50 years, we've miraculously recovered from the Trumpocalypse, and we are trying to like get our act together, and we're realizing all these landfills full of trash and toxic waste are bad, and so it's time to finally. Now that we have efficient space travel technology, send all this refuse into the sun. It's just time to do it. And little did we know that some of the trash is haunted by by
the ghost
of a guy who ran a lot.
The ghost of legs.
The ghost of legs.
Usain Bolt is haunting the trash. Yeah, okay.
Yes, the ghost of Usain Bolt. Okay, so is haunting, like, unfortunately, like one piece of crumpled up paper with some food on it. But that's where Usain Bolt's ghost.
It was a chicken nugget wrapper.
Yeah. And
Cause,
so,
because you've heard of phantom limb syndrome, haven't you?
Oh man, yeah.
Yeah, it's not Usain Bolt. It's just Usain Bolt's legs.
So they shoot the rocket. Everything goes perfectly, and it goes into the sun. And you know, like there's a big party on Earth because it's been this huge step forward for the environment. All these communities that used to be surrounded by a dump, now they have, you know, that's clean. And
there's so much trash after the Trumpocalypse, right?
Mm-hmm.
That most of the Earth is composed of it.
Oh,
we've mined out most of Earth. We've filled in those mines with trash. Mm-hmm. So now it's basically, instead of us firing trash into the sun, we're sort of firing ourselves away from it. So, and obviously, there's no gravity well for that. You've just got to break the Earth, push the Earth towards the sun while we escape.
So, what? Right, I'm kind of looking down the line here. The sun grows legs and then goes, "Come back here, you."
Yeah, pretty much. Like Earth, like, you know what? Right. Okay. So you know in the fullness of time, eventually the sun will expand and there'll be the kind of heat death of the whole solar system stuff.
Sure.
Or it'll just kind of wink out and become a black hole. Any of these bad things can happen. Well,
we need a plot. We've got the premise.
The sun, right, listen. No, we haven't even yet. The sun's expanding, getting bigger and bigger, and part of this expansion also, as we start to fire things at it to try and stop it doing so, to try and stabilize it and extend the life of the sun and potentially get away ourselves, it starts growing legs. Like, we've introduced new chemicals into the sun that are messing around with it and starting to personify it.
So more scientific than supernatural, perhaps?
In a way, yeah. Yeah, I think.
In a small way.
In a very small way.
Pseudo-science.
In a science-esque, as opposed to...
What can you do? What can you do with legs that you can't do without legs if you're the sun? I'm thinking all it can do is dance and kick stuff. So yeah, we need a plot that's based around... Yeah, we need a kind of football-adjacent plot for this, don't we, where it's important to the survival of the species that the sun kicks something.
Well, but the thing is that the horror element could start out with the sun's got legs and, as we know, is furious about it. And so Mercury, being the closest to the sun, gets a good, swift kick right out of this solar system. And end up, who knows, fly by Andromeda, maybe run into something.
There can be a bit where, like, scientists come panicked into the Oval Office to the president, and they go, "It's kicking stuff, sir."
Mercury flies past Earth at a ridiculous rate, just burning through the atmosphere.
Yeah, and we have like the Michael Bay, like kids looking up from their basketball game, seeing this like really fast moving like Mercury blob just like burning through the sky.
Just
Armageddon
just love
style.
The idea.
Oh, it's burning through the sky. So it's Freddie Mercury.
Hey! That's why they call you Mr. Funny Height.
I just love the idea that the scientists have just gone and gone, "Mercury and Venus have gone! We don't know what's done it!" And then, like, there's one scientist who goes, "I know." And he's got video footage of the sun kicking Mercury and Venus away from the solar system.
It's like a bicycle kick, because if you can imagine, there's this sort of, like, process where, as a sphere, it sort of rolls over on its back and sort of does that kind of flip kick to sort of over-the-head scissor, like you might see at the end of a football movie.
Sure.
So trying to figure the thing out the is, horror element to this.
I think it's kind of like Armageddon. Like it's a planet horror, which I'm going to stick with that now that I've said it. But like what I'm saying is that we have to find a way to negotiate with the sun now that the two planets closest to it. It is kicked away, and we are the third in line.
And the only communication we have with it is kicking.
So we have to construct an enormous Pacific Rim kaiju kick monster.
Yeah.
And quickly learn the sun's kick language.
Yeah.
Lionel Mackie.
No legs.
Yeah.
It's like Lionel Mackie.
Lionel Mackie?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
like, we're not on video on the podcast, but I'm just thinking like some way to kick your legs that go, "Hello."
Oh, no, I was going with Lionel Messi, the football player.
That makes much more sense.
Oh, Lionel Richie. Lionel Richie is the star of this movie. He's controlling Lionel Messi.
Sorry.
Is it me you're kicking for?
That's what I was going to say. Is it me you're kicking for?
Is there a foot? Are you telling me there's a footballer called Mr. Messi?
Yeah.
It sounds like a children's book.
It does. It sounds like the book Mr. Messi by Roger Hargreaves. Is there a Mr. Tickle?
Bear in mind that there's also Kaka.
I, for a brief moment, forgot that on this podcast I'm the sport correspondent.
Yeah.
I know a lot more about sport than everyone else.
How are you?
Yes.
To know more about sport than me, you would only need to know the word sport.
Yeah, be honest.
you have achieved it.
Yeah. Tom literally is the only sport.
Well, yeah. In that case, Tom needs to take the lead here. Like,
yep.
What, how does the sun save the world? In footballs, how do they save the world? By kicking.
Well,
I think it's a giant. The Earth has to become the big goalie.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
and
truly,
there's a black hole behind it, and we've got to get. Like, we make an arrangement with a bet with the sun. But the sun won't kick us out of the solar system if we can score a goal into this black hole of another planet.
I like the idea that this is it's an Arrival-style film where we've got, like, these ships floating closer to the sun so we can talk to them. We've got our best scientists in one spacesuit, and then our best, like, football manager in another. And they're both just trying to communicate with the sun, whose legs are flailing wildly, and they're trying to calm him down.
At the risk of repeating myself, I think that there's got to be some inclusion of the term World Cup here.
That's true.
Because this is what we're...
If we're kicking a world into a goal, there does need to be a World Cup awarded. Although, if the world is our world, where are we going?
No, this is how we're going to save the planets.
Right.
We're going to save them by catching them in our World Cup.
Okay.
Okay, go on, I'm with you.
So we figure out how to manipulate gravity into like a little pocket next to us. So we've got this like almost like these two hands sprouting outside of Earth.
No, the problem is that's the plan, is to create this pocket of gravity, and the scientists are like, yes, we're going to make a World Cup. Let's work on it. But what they give it to the designers, and what they've made out of gravity is a sort of twisty thing with like a globe on the top. And they go, that's not a cup! How are we supposed to catch anything in that? Why do we even call that a cup? And all the scientists go, we thought this is what you wanted!
And they decide to compromise. They compromise by calling it the black goal.
So, yeah, I just want like an image of Earth. We're coming to the second half of the film here, when we've made this bet with Joe Pesci,
right, well, right, dancing Joe.
And Earth, it's like a kind of a Pacific Rim kaiju thing, where like we now start personifying Earth as just Earth with like just the ball, but it grows these like electromagnetic spectral little goalie gloves and a pair of crouched froggy legs.
Would you say the bendy bits of these legs might be called
Gaia's knees?
Gaia's knees. Yeah, there's two enormous spires erected on two like at a 90 degree angle, and they're called the Gaia's knees project, and they have to tunnel into the ground. It's a spin-off. We've got these two legs poking out the bottom, two little goalie gloves out the top, and then I guess the rest is just us trying to save.
It's Lionel Richie controlling the Earth. The man.
Plays the negotiator. He's like the guy who's been talking to Joe Pesci all along. In the Arrival style.
I used to think the sun could not have legs. Hello. I can't get over. Is it me you're kicking for? Because it's got to be the nice, and you know, like the weird like thing on the space goal you were talking about, like starts to spin and lights shoot out of it, and it's actually like also kind of a disco ball. Just for the right moment, you know. Could the sun and the Earth work it out by without getting so close that the Earth gets sucked into its gravity and burns to a crisp? Could they sort of have a sort of a remote dance off?
Because
that's the other thing you can do with legs that you can't do without them.
Right. Yeah, like,
required for, like a, required like for a, jumping, dancing, strolling along down, what's that word again?
Like street? a deadly slow break dancing dance off where the spinning takes a day. But, but you know, it's still pretty cool and the leg work's pretty great.
The denouement of the film is that kind of time lapse style, like Earth, like you see skyscrapers and stuff and being built on Earth as like this, as this dance goes on, you know, like as you watch civilizations from afar and Earth become an even more spacefaring race.
Yes. This dance-off took 5 years, but you know, it was worth it. The sun was finally like, okay, I guess I won't kick you.
I'll kick Jupiter instead. That little piece of shit.
Wait, which is the one that's made of gas?
Jupiter.
So he just.
So the film ends on Jupiter exploding and wiping out the Earth.
I'm gonna kick Jupiter, that little gassy piece of shit, and then we go collectively as the human race go, no, wait, don't, and then boom.
Soul, no.
You idiot! You blew it up. Damn you!
There you go.
So that was the sun grew legs and is furious about it. A sci-fi horror movie.
Boy, Lionel Richie and Joe Pesci, though. Great to see them working again.
Great chemistry.
Horror. Oh, yeah. God, I was terrified all the way through.
Yeah, the horror was, I think, on our part.
Man. Oh, boy. Well, that was that. Thank you, Joe Thompson, for that one. And if you want to give a title for next time, go to twitter.com/livespitshow, facebook.com/livespitpodcast, or Instagram at livespitshow as well, where you can find all of our posters, because there's a poster for the film every week. Don't forget to find us on iTunes and don't forget to find us on iTunes, Acast, or anywhere with an RSS feed, and just tell your friends about the thing, because we have no other way of spreading the word except our own mouths.
Yeah, don't forget, if you'd like the podcast and you want to contribute towards the upkeep, you can go to patreon.com/lifesapitchpodcast and find some rewards for donating some money every month. That could start at like $1 a month. You get to choose the genre that we pick every week. And yeah, there's loads of other things up there. Movie commentaries, an extra pitch every week. So yeah, it's worth a look at least. That's patreon.com/lifesapitchpodcast.
Guys, where can we find you on the internet? If on the very, very... like outside chance that any people listening to this don't already know where to find you on the internet. Where, Brent, should we start with you? Where can we find you?
Sure. Well, my Twitter is at Brental Floss. But what I really want you to go check out is Use Your Words, which is a game that Matt and Tom have played, a game I've played with Dave. It's a fun time. It's a comedy party game. It's on PC, Mac, Xbox One, PS4, Wii U, and the Switch. And you can get more information about that at useyourwords.lol.
Might be one of the funnest party games I think I've ever played, definitely.
Thanks.
Yeah. It's great fun. And we're gonna restart streaming that at some point soon, I think, because we've all been a little busy for some reason. It's just weird. All these kooky Halloween adventures sort of take it out of us, I think.
Sure. Well, I will tell you, in the next month or so, we're releasing a content pack with 100 new prompts that'll also have an option for French language that probably doesn't concern a lot of your listeners, but might. So it's gonna have 100 new English prompts and their French counterparts.
Oh, amazing!
So, yeah, look out for that. If you've not played in a while, it might refresh the fun a bit for you.
Especially if you're trying to play it in French. if you just don't speak French. I actually think that we might be directly responsible for about 6 or 7 sales of Future Waves.
I appreciate it.
Well, Joe Thompson.
And that's
plays
why
it.
That's why I'm literally joining your Patreon right now on my laptop to my left. So.
Oh no way.
Oh yes way. Because everyone listening, it's not that hard to support good stuff. So just do it. Dave's got a Patreon. He may or may not tell you about. I've got a Patreon, but don't do that. Don't do mine. Do Life's a Pitch and Dave's.
Oh, do mine. Yeah, no, do mine. Yeah.
As Tom was going to say, Joe Thompson, who literally gave us this pitch, we know has it. Yeah, we know has your words.
He said to me the other day, I bought Use Your Words on your recommendation and we have not stopped playing it. So
nice. So, yeah. That warms my heart. Thank you.
Dave.
Hello.
If people want to give you you their money, where can they? Find you on the internet.
They can. I'm called Demon Tomato Dave wherever you want to find me, and I'm on YouTube and Twitter, and I've got a games channel called Bulma Boops Buttons. Or if you want to see them live, then I'm Twitch.tv Demon Tomato Dave. I'm Demon Tomato Dave everywhere. And I've got a podcast. The reason I'd forgotten is that we just sort of stumbled and hadn't posted any episodes for ages, but we're going to record new ones starting this weekend. So anyone listening to this might be able to go and look for Serious Disney, which is a podcast about cartoons.
Genuinely, nice. don't kind of play it down, Dave. You're selling yourself short. This is the best podcast about cartoons. I have listened to every podcast about cartoons. No, I've listened to every episode of Serious Disney, and I love it. It's a really wonderful, in-depth look at Frozen so far, but it's quite clear that they know quite a lot about the backstories of these films and the little bits of trivia, and also are very, very astute at finding the patterns. So if you're the kind of person who looks into things, go and check out Serious Disney for sure.
If you're the sort of person who looks at things, listen to our podcast.
Looks deeply into things and finds those patterns. Anyway, we should.
It's goodbye from me, Tom McGrath.
It's goodbye from me, Matt Turner.
It's hello from me, Brent Black.
Is it me you're kicking for? From me, Dave Bulmer.
And until the sun grows legs and decides to challenge us to a kickoff.
I guess.
Remember who pitched it.
Bye.
Bye. Pitch, like a football pitch.
So, has anyone seen Dave?
I thought he went to the loo. That was about an hour ago. Did he? I just assumed he was. I don't know. Had a lot to do in there.
Hang on.
I'll check.
One escape pod is gone.
I was just looking at this panel here. There are no escape pods left.
Oh,
thanks, Dave.
The fact that this space station is equipped with one escape pod that fits one person was a bit of an oversight.
Well, it was abandoned, so when we docked, we pretty much added one escape pod to the inventory of the space station.
That's a good point. Well,
I see if there's any food. Like, I'll just open this door. Oh my God, there is a mauled body in there.
Oh man.
Is it not Dave?
No, it's not Dave. No. It's unrecognizable, but it's definitely not Dave.
No, it doesn't wear glasses. That's how you know. It's
guys, yeah. Look out the window. The thing that was blocking out the sun was it's an armada of alien spaceships.
Oh,
I'm not gonna lie to you guys. We're being invaded. And I don't think this ship has weapons.
And this little tiny bar of freeze-dried margarita, and I think it's made of nanites. This is terrible. I can feel
that
they're really upset.
It's coming out of the vents! Someone get the flamethrower!
Oh, man.
I'm sorry, I can't do that, Tom.
Oh, God!
Oh, no.
The AI is not letting me do shit.
Oh, wait, the flamethrower, it works. Oh, wait, it works too well. Oh, guys, I'm so sorry. Oh, wow.
Oh, no, the ship is flaming. Oh, we're dying.
Do you have any baking soda? Really quickly, we're going to use this really quickly. Some space baking soda? No? Oh, wow, I'm burning to death. Wow.
Oh, God.
We're doomed.
Unfortunate.
Oh, no.
Damn you, Dave.
Remember who pitched it.
Looks like Matt and Tom didn't know that in space no one can hear you podcast. Still, they learned a valuable lesson. No one crosses the script keeper and lives to write the tale. So, that concludes this year's spookifying Life's a Pitch podcast presents Tales from the Script. I've been your script keeper, Demon Tomato...
Well, yeah, Demon Tomato Dave. Hello. Until next time, have a happy Halloween!
With you young witches on this fabulous night, let them know it's Halloween.